tight, so fly. You got me lifted, you got me lifted.
Got me lifted, shifted higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Would you like to tell us anything before? I sort of have some questions about your work, but if you want to say anything else before...
Oh, I didn't think of anything.
Okay, great. Just shut up.
Your watch, and it seemed like it's really chill and really a great experience, so I figured, you know, I'll just go in and see what happens.
Cool. That sounds great. So, yes, I'm glad you came. I was curious about, so you work under, as a director of adult films, under the name Vina Virago, is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, that's the name I was working under, and the last film I did was 2008, and I was a part of this art porn movement, which doesn't really exist anymore. It's sort of, it's historical. But now I just finished a new movie that I sent to a porn film festival in Berlin, and because they know me under that name, I usually put both names.
Oh, nice.
And there are some people who only call me Vina. Anyone here does not call me Vina.
Yeah.
And some people still do.
Yeah. I was just curious, where you come up with that name, if that name has any special significance, or if
you... It came from, like, a poem I wrote when I was working in the S&M house about, like, clipping coupons. I used to always work on a Sunday, and I felt like, wow, I could be clipping coupons here. This is, like, women's work. I also really work on women's work. So I was just thinking about, going off on some tangent, but in the poem I called myself a Sunday Virago or something, so it's kind of like a vixen with a heart, I was thinking, Vina Virago. And then I found out there's a musician in San Francisco called Shauna Virago, but I didn't know Shauna before.
Interesting, I love it. Thanks for the background. And then, so it says, you said you made your last sort of adult film in 2008.
Commercial, I should say.
Commercial, okay. I still make movies.
Now I mostly make jerk-off movies.
What's a jerk-off movie, exactly?
It's like guys jerking off.
Okay.
I mean, the sort of, like, the history, I think the first jerk-off movie I ever saw was a VHS tape by Old Reliable.
Okay.
He's a sort of legendary director in L.A. who would get, like, tough guys off the street and, they come over and he would film them jerking off. And I think I sort of became kind of obsessed with that, or a few years ago, like after, you know, making pornos, I've always made jokes that were explicit. But when you make a jerk off movie, I didn't have money, you don't really have to pay people as much, and you don't have to do testing. And you know what I mean? And it's like, that's also like, I like to watch, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah. So you're sort of bringing back that genre in a way. That's so interesting.
It's a game.
Yeah,
it's
still around, I'm
like
sure. But, yeah.
You know, I'm making gay for him, sort of.
Yeah.
Something. I thought I was going to do this project called, I can't remember now what it was called, Oh, Hot Cock for Lonely Ladies. And then that one. So I found Gregory Barnett, who's my friend, a performance artist. We've worked together a lot, and it's really weird to film a friend, like, jerking off, you know, and then he put on this porno, and then we put it right, like, under the camera, and he was watching, and it was this gay porno, it was like a bear porno, with a lot of grunting, and no music at all, so that became actually the soundtrack of the film, and then I showed that at Porn Film Festival Berlin, and there was a friend, you know, I've made friends with Logan Bonier since it started, like, 2007, to show movies, and, my friend Luke, who also made his own movies, he said, I want to be in a movie, let's film it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't bring a camera. He's like, I haven't got a camera, let's go. So we made another one, and that became I'm a Tourist, I Would Like to Watch Him Naked. And that was like Berlin Tourist Pictures and
Xavier,
you know, this fake narrative about running into him on the street and him being a stranger and me watching him learn some German.
Yeah. Amazing.
And it's about learning the German language, too. It's like a Pinsler day or something.
It's like a what?
Learn Spanish in 2 weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Found some CDs or something and then just use that.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, my sort of next question was just, like, how did you get started in the industry, and also, like, how did you learn about this sort of subgenre, which I don't really know that much about, so my questions are very, like, I don't know, I'm just curious.
That's good.
But I'm so fascinated in, like, the whole idea of alt porn. I'm like, oh, wow, mine is sort of blah. Like, you know, I watch pornography occasionally, but I usually find it to be misogynistic, and I don't take a lot of time to, like, search around for feminist porn or things that I might be actually turned on by and not offended by.
Alt porn was feminist.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people making it were my friends. I would say that it wasn't all feminist porn.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, girls with tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Suicide Girl.
Right.
Porn.
Yeah.
But you know, for those of us, we're a group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
We all work together. Actually, one of the directors used to have a place not far from where we were recording.
Oh, nice.
And I was at an art show, and I saw this guy come out of it. I'm like, hey, my friend used to live in here. And he's like, oh, is he the porn guy? I'm like, yeah. I was a sex worker before I went to graduate school at CalArts. And then at CalArts, I was a dominatrix. And prior to that, I was, in my undergrad, like a go-go dancer. And prior to that, I was just a big nerd. So ceramics. I had someone on my kitchen show a few weeks ago that knew him way 80s, and she's like, you were so cool. I was like, wasn't cool.
Were in the past.
Anyway, I felt like just a super nerd.
Yeah.
So it was a way that I, doing that kind of work and tying it to my artwork, and I became a dancer when I was in school, and it just, I suppose I would have been called, like, Riot Girl, but I didn't know any Riot Girls, and Riot Work certainly didn't learn any.
It also sounds like the time period, I mean, this was
91.
Yeah.
The beginning of Riot Girls, so flash forward to CalArts, and it's 98, when I left there, there were a bunch of people who worked, because CalArts is, you know, just above the Santa Ana Valley,
mm-hmm.
there were people who had jobs in Chatsworth, in VCA Pictures, like, just a network of people ended up getting jobs there, and everyone always wants to look at their friends, so then more of us would come in, and I ended up doing, like, quality control at a site called BabeNet, and BabeNet was the net portion of VCA Pictures, so VCA Pictures was next door,
mm-hmm.
VCA Pictures is, like, a classic porn company,
mm-hmm.
It was owned by Ross Hampshire, I think I had the name right, and
mm-hmm.
later was bought, at the end was bought by Hustler. But these were, like, it was
an old
company. These were the people in these old companies,
mm-hmm.
like Ross, like Larry Flynn, you know, they went to jail to fight for the right to make this pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, it was a political movement in the 70s.
Right.
And it wasn't just about making money.
Right.
VCA Picture was, like, a family operation. So I worked for my friends worked in the DVD department at VCA, and then I worked in the internet, their internet company they were affiliated with called BabeNet. And that was pretty early on, you know, in the world of internet porn, when it did start, like, 95 or something. I mean, they were streaming videos, but it was still, they were kind of inventing the technology as they went.
Yeah.
So then,
so fascinating.
Going forward, Ian MacKay worked at VCA Pictures, and then he, you know, was really known for alt porn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a part of the beginning of this movement, and a lot of people say that he sort of made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he was my friend, and I art directed his movie, Art School Sluts, and then we all really worked on each other's movies. We did a split movie. I mean, I always thought it would be fun to direct because, I mean, it was so weird. You know, I went to film school, and I'm like, what's weird about California? And, like, porno is pretty weird.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I, like, watched a porno until, I mean, I remember watching, like, in the early 80s, like, some tapes, like, amateur kind of tapes. But I did actually, when I was an undergrad at Hunter College, I wrote a paper in defense of pornography because of these women, some feminists in New York, who came out with a publication called Caught Looking, and it was a sort of feminist way of looking at porn. And then later when I was in New York, you know, I would go to Annie Sprinkle's house. It was like a little circle of people.
So I felt like it was really just a part of your sort of culture and lifestyle. Like, you know, because as someone who's not necessarily a part of those cultures and lifestyle, I have all these questions. Like, how would you find out about these things? Like, how do I get involved? Like, where do I, you know, but it sounds like it was just sort of all around you.
It was all, it's like everything was connected. When you think about New York, and you think about a time before the internet, and you think about a time when there actually was an underground, it was just kind of like, I got back from Berlin after undergrad, and I didn't want to go to grad school right away. And I was looking for jobs as a dominatrix. I decided I wanted to do that. And I was talking to this guy on the street I used to give money to, Cornell. He was like a former Wall Street guy who became a crackhead. And he, I was telling him I was looking for this job. And then he's like, oh, I know there's a place right here. Let me introduce you to the owner. It's kind of like the very New York one thing on the other, that I lived in a hotel with a bunch of club kids. You know, so it's, I became, and some of those club kids were all, actually a lot of people worked in the sex industry there. It was a different time in New York, and there was all kinds of people working all of these kinds of jobs. It's what like kids who need jobs did, sort of. And then the club, it was just all really a part of the culture.
Well, and this is sort of, I mean, you've already sort of spoken to a lot of this, but from watching some of the shorts that you sent me, I mean, it seems, at least my inference, is that, you know, your work sort of combats a lot of the cultural stigma around sort of women embracing their sexuality and slut-shaming. You posted a photo on your Instagram account, which I borrowed for Soulfriend's Instagram account, that says, that's you, mate, exclamation point. And I'm just curious if this is something that you feel like you are sort of conscious of when you're making work, or if this is just my, but just the idea of sort of, like,
yeah, because
it's women embracing their sexuality in a way that's acceptable and, like, sex positive, and just if you consider that when making work. Or
well, yeah, of course, all the time. I mean, that t-shirt came from the San Francisco Sex Workers Film Festival, and I don't know the group, if it was actually the film festival group who made it, or if it was Coyote. And Coyote is a group in San Francisco. I don't know if they're still around, but they were, like, a super call off your old tired ethics. It was a pro, like, prostitution, sex positive group. With, Scarlett Harlett is someone who was a part of this group, or maybe the head of it. And then women from, I didn't practice and think about this stuff, because I don't work in this world anymore, but I sort of, it comes back. Was it Carol Lee, someone from the adult bookstore? I'll see if I can do about it. So there's this movement throughout the country, and again, going back to, like, sort of pre-internet days, Annie Sprinkle was a part of an organization in New York called Pony, Prostitutes of New York, and used to have meetings at her apartment, and I went to a few of those. And, like, there was this whole, like, underground movement of sex positive, sex workers. Now, I think you see more of it, probably because of the internet, but it took a long time.
Yeah.
And then also, I think the Riot Girl movement and, like, the Rusty Lady in San Francisco and all of these things, and also kind of, queer, positive, people breaking down sort of gender barriers. Like, so much is going on with gender identity and sexuality. It's just a much better time.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I should say is, when I was a kid, or, like, in my 20s, actually, when I was a teenager, we would go to, I grew up in the suburbs of New York, and we would go to Times Square, and I would cut school and just walk around New York, because I love New York. And there were women who were part of this feminist movement, like Andrea Dworkin was one of the leaders of that, and they would sit in Times Square with a picture of a woman and going into a meat grinder.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was, like, a Hustler cover, or they made it up as a Hustler cover, but it was always there, and then this woman against pornography.
So it's like a powerful image.
So this is, like, I think for women of your generation, there's a much more positive way of looking at sexuality that's really a lot more inclusive, and I think in the 70s, the early 80s, a lot of times women who were sex workers were looked down upon by feminists, and that's what I made this publication called Looking, and I was looking at it, and I bought a copy. I have one in storage somewhere, but I couldn't find it, so I bought a vintage the vintage book place somewhere on the west side. Right. And it's kind of dated. You know, I think it's, you know, it's supposed to be this forward-looking thing, but there really are trans people in it. There aren't many people of color.
It's
a lot of pictures of women. It just doesn't...
Mm. They're scratching the surface, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's taken years and years, I think, for this kind of openness and sexuality to evolve, and hopefully it will keep evolving.
Yeah.
To really be more inclusive.
Yeah. Well, and what I love about what you're talking about is just, like, this sort of overarching message of, like, acceptance and love and embracing your individual identity, whatever that identity is. And I had a question about just sort of, like, casting and how you cast your films if you were involved in the casting process. Just because in watching some of the ones that you sent, there's such a wide sort of variety of, like, shapes and sizes of bodies and people and things like that, which I really appreciate because, again, my sort of entry-level, you know, knowledge of porn, it's all, like, white, skinny girls and, like, even if it's, you know, non-heterosexual porn, like, all the people sort of look the same in the porn that I have access to. So I'm just curious about your process of, like, casting and how you sort of would choose people to be in your films.
Well, with the, I did the commercial work for Hustler and did it through, like old porn friends.
Mm-hmm.
There were different women, a lot of us, and men, a lot of us worked with regularly. And then when I would cast a film, I would cast the guys first because... There were, maybe I would have a female star, so then I knew who wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
But there was a certain kind of guy I wanted to be in the movie who I would watch different movies and see who seemed to be really, like, loving, but still, like, the sex wasn't sort of violent or, you know, at this time, the thing, when I say violent, that sounds like a judgment, but at the time, like, it's hard to explain because I never saw these videos, but there were videos where the guys would have sex with women and then kick them out of moving cars. Like, there were all different kinds of pornos. So I would kind of do research on what kind of guys were in what movies and that. And then I also liked, I cast guys who I liked and I found attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So usually they have, like, kind of muscles. I wasn't into the sort of scrawny emo guys who were in one of the other alt porn films. And they were, like, nice guys and stuff, but that's really not what I wanted to see in a movie.
You kind of meant this according to what you...
And then the women, we worked with different casting agents, and, you know, there's kind of, like, in porn, you know, Jenna Jameson would be one prize, right? It would be really expensive because she was so famous. But also, we tended to work with models who didn't have fake boobs, but it's interesting because some of the women who I cast when they were early on in their careers, they didn't have fake boobs, and then they got them. But they only have beautiful breasts. Like, I understand it. Like, I think fake boobs are kind of cool. Like, if you want to have them, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But these women have, they have perfect breasts, and then they go and make them bigger or something.
Yeah, so you actually got to see sort of the progression, the real-life progression of some of
them. Well, later, when I would see that in other movies, you know, and anyhow, so I just kind of cast people I like, and also really our budgets were sort of medium budgets.
Yeah.
And so we had people at a certain price point, let's say. So they were all kind of grown in their careers.
Yeah.
So, but they weren't, like, the most expensive, and they weren't, like, the cheapest either.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you have a favorite film that you have made?
No. My favorite film is always, like, my last film or my first film. Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's too many. What I've been doing, like, too many to pick a favorite because they're all, like, the films always feel like these documents of my life, you know, in a way. Like, I just finished a film for Porn Film Festival Berlin to submit, you know, because the submission process is in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So every year I try and at least get one thing I can send to them, and I just keep putting Porn Film Festival Berlin up because I've just finished this piece that I hope they'll like and show.
Yeah.
But also there's really no other festival like that that I've ever been to because it's again, talking about inclusivity, it's queer, it's trans, it's straight, it's swingers, it's kink, it's like everything.
Yeah.
And it's become, like, insane. I think it's for maybe, I can't remember, like, 5 days or something in the fall in Berlin, and the theaters are packed to the wall.
That
like, it's become
amazing.
So popular.
Yeah.
and it's really just a celebration of all kinds of sexuality.
Yeah.
And I was really honored one year because they put my Little Berlin tourist movie with all the Berlin filmmakers, because they have a section that's only about Berlin filmmakers.
Oh,
so I just made a film with a video with an art model called Michael Schmidt, and I met him at a party for Dominatrixes Against Donald, which is a group that I belong to. Once an artist involved with Jerry Rose is in it, Tara Indiana is a dominatrix, Jeffrey Bounds has made drawings for this piece they're going to do. So I joined this group somehow, and they have this party, and this guy, Michael Schmidt, wears this Donald Trump mask.
Mm.
And he was at the party, and he did a performance with some of the women there, and then I asked him to be in a movie, sort of an anti-Trump movie. So I just finished that. And it doesn't really, it's just like music and sound in it, and chanting from the Women's March, and a version of the Star Spangled Banner that I sort of tweaked and made in Garage Band, and then also some archival footage from the 50s. But the video doesn't, it's not really making a statement. You have to decide what you want to think about him, so it doesn't say he is this, he is that. It just shows Michael in the Trump mask doing kind of grotesque things, the kind of funny things, with food and stretching off and fireworks. And you have to finish it
like a really emotional, my stuff doesn't make sense.
I mean, the corner, when I was doing the corners, we did these, I forget what it's called, like on the wall, or what, I don't know what it's called, something wall to wall, that was called.
Yeah.
So basically, I didn't do big narrative features. There would be a little bit of a story or an idea, and then there would be a lot of sex.
Yeah.
So they were all like concept movies, but I didn't have the kind of budget to do a proper giant narrative film, which was fine anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I experienced, just sort of having my mind blown at watching some of your shorts in terms of sort of what you're talking about the, there wasn't necessarily, the one I'm thinking of in particular is the Tea Party, what's that one called?
Tea Party.
And it was great because, and I'm not sure if the link that you sent me, if it had sort of a partial, if it was the whole film or not, but I think I watched maybe like 12 minutes of
it. Yeah, there's two versions. I forgot it was a long version because I was sort of selling those VHS tapes.
Oh, nice.
I have to check and see. I was like noticing that I've sort of uploaded something strange and I think it's been fixed, but it's about 8 minutes long.
Oh,
that
film
has some great fake boobs in it,
though. Oh, that one does have some fake boobs in it.
Alt corner. Actually, what's very funny about that is we filmed that in North Carolina. But he had a different name then. He did write a countess, and then he went on to become a big cult porn director. And he doesn't do porno anymore.
Yeah.
My other friend, Chuck Bronco, who was like, helped me produce the movie, and he did the camera too. He did music. He had worked at BCA Pictures. We all worked at BCA Pictures.
Okay.
And then it was in North Hollywood, and in that movie, it's two women who are like strippers, and they used to do this, they worked together a lot. They used to put on Kiss makeup and dress Kiss makeup. And they were back in their 30s, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I had them dress in stripper, sort of like cutesy pink and purple lingerie.
Yeah, it's like lavender with like maybe white trim or something.
Yeah. So it's very cute. But then it's supposed to be a childlike scene where they're having a tea party, and it's related to the show from my childhood, which nobody knows anymore, Family Affair, Buffy and Mrs. Beasley. It's like so dating. But anyway, so they just have it's this like psycho tea party, and then they start wrestling.
Yeah.
But there's childlike drawings on all the walls, and it's like a valley backyard with these concrete walls or cinder block walls. So the neighbors called the police and said, there's child porn happening.
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is two women in their 30s, strippers, wrestling.
Yeah.
With big boobs.
Big boobs.
And the neighbors call and say, child pornography is being shot next door. So, like, 11 cops came. And then it was Ian's birthday, and so his mom was coming there to take him to dinner.
Oh, no.
She was, like, taking pictures of the cops and stuff.
She was just embracing the situation.
Yeah, and then someone else was on. The women had already left, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else on the set, I wouldn't say, who was, like, drunk and saying, like, I know my rights, I'm going to call the ACLU, like, just kind of stuff. And then all we did is, like, we pulled out, like, CalArts IDs, even though we weren't there anymore. We were just students. We're making a student movie.
That's so smart. Yeah.
You know, and then they were like, you know, people shoot porno in the valley. And we're like, really?
Really? Because in our movie, people are just playing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it. But that's kind of what it was. Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of what it was, is, like, it was mostly just them sort of playing and interacting with each other's bodies, and there was some food involved, and then there was this, like, fun music over it, and it was this, like, celebration. It was very, I enjoyed it.
I think we also, like, said to the cops, like, do you want to see the footage? We'll show you the footage.
Mm-hmm.
That's
helpful, yeah.
But, like, the movies don't make sense. I mean, most of the movies I made, like, I don't think they make any sense, which is okay, you know.
Yeah. I love it. What acceptance of being in a place of not knowing. It's a good lesson for me to constantly be learning.
It also means there's really no market for it.
Oh.
You know? It's like, my friend said to me, actually, it's Chris Wilcher, who's a successful commercials director, he's made some really cool documentaries.
Yeah.
He was just saying to me years ago that, like, your work is too art for porn, but too porn for art.
Well, that was the other question for you, actually. It's just, who do you feel your sort of main audience is, and or do you consider an audience? Because that was what I kept thinking. It's like, well, this is adult filmmaking, but it's not necessarily, like, I'm not going to, like, want to jerk off to this, but then
so
I don't
even
know if
yeah.
I guess you could, but I don't know, and I also didn't watch all of the ones that you said, but... But yeah, what's your audience?
Yeah.
Or do you not really think about it?
Well, this is a question. I mean, you have to think about your audience now, right? Isn't that the question?
I mean, you know.
Who's your audience?
Right.
Every grab question now, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because you can just say, my audience is everyone.
Right.
So I had a retrospective at Human Resources, a video retrospective this April, 10 days, and there were performers also, and John Girdle.
Sure, I did it, right?
Yeah, he put us together, it was very psyched, and we went through all the different videos and came up with this 99-minute selection.
Amazing.
And so the crowd was it was a mix, there were art kids, a lot of gay men, because, you know, I'm bare-head, and I have all my gay and non bears. Actually, some non-bears, too. And then I said, well, you know, maybe we should invite the fetish community. So we invited another Fat Life, which is supposed to be, I had read it's like Facebook for fetish people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on Fat Life and I made invites. And for the opening, people came from Fat Life.
Oh,
and
cool.
There were kids having sex, and they were doing, like, the fantasy was to, like, watch the movies, and I wanted to watch the movies while his girlfriend was giving me a blowjob. So that happened upstairs.
That happened upstairs.
I
mean,
during Carl Petion's performance. So
there's a lot of
like
private space upstairs at Human Resources.
Oh, yeah, so they wanted to be watched.
Oh, they wanted to be watched.
Oh,
how cool.
He wanted to be watching the movies, and he wanted people watching him.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Carl was doing his performance, where he's got masks, and he's twirling an umbrella, and it's kind of, like, it's more about the body moving, and then we had a glory hole in that room, which he carved with a drill and knocked the door over, so it was like this crazy.
Oh my God.
And then he put the door up, and then he put this sock puppet, this giant sock puppet, pulling it in and out of the glory hole, and the barbed wire, and then there was this blowjob happening, and and then there was a guy who came.
I'm so sorry that I missed
all of
that.
Every night there were different performers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 420, there was Wits and Giggles did Hot Dogs.
Oh, Wits and Giggles.
So there was also, like, there was this guy from Fat Life who came, like, three times, and his thing was he's a, like, an exhibitionist masturbator.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have one of my films. I have in the film, an exhibitionist masturbator in Broken Hearts Are for Assholes. That's 2017. So,
I can't remember. I watched one that was similar to... Oh, this is a boring conversation, me trying to...
Yeah.
But it was one who was sort of in an art studio, and he was thin, and he was masturbating, and it seemed like it was a more recent...
That was the latest one in the show, and it was me.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was, like, I had a breakup with a boyfriend, and I was having a hard time getting over him. I met this guy on Tinder, or OkCupid, or it's actually on both sites.
Yeah.
And he was getting over a breakup with his wife, I think,
mm.
and then he just wanted to masturbate, so I asked him to be in the movie, and I would pay him, but I got to know him a little bit before we shot the movie, and I met with him like five times or something, or four times before, and then he's in the movie, and I talk about the breakup and the relationship, and then he's in it, and he's like jerking off it, but he's also an art model, so I have two like art models and working in the last two movies. And art models are good because they'll do like poses and stuff. Like, so he did the pose. But yeah, so it was a crowd, different crowds, there were different groups of people who came to the show, and then Catherine Lagley in the LA Weekly gave it a pick, so then there were people from the LA Weekly came, including a couple who were like middle-aged, and they ran out of the movie theater, the guy screaming like, "My wife is making me go home," like he tried to get his wife to go to the show, it was sexually explicit. But then, you know, I mean, it's sexual. It was like a woman, I think it was written about in the Weekly as, you know, a woman makes her sexually explicit movies, you know, that sort of feminist thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, you know, when you see, like, a 400-pound man who's naked with, you know, transsexual dominatrix, I mean, that's not everybody's cup of tea.
So it was too much for this woman.
It's not like Red Shoes Diaries or whatever these things on cable TV that are like erotica.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is. But
it's like an old thing, like the first sort of like softcore, you know.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, we see Mr. Samantha like beating this guy. You know, he's into it, but like it's not really everybody's cup of tea. I mean, for artists, I mean, artists like to look at it, they're really curious about the body.
Yeah.
And the sort of shapes and how the body moves. But some people, I think, went to the show thinking it would be sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some people found it sexy, other people were horrifying.
That
and other people just didn't come. I know that, because there's some people who will not come when I do, like, a sex show. Like, I have friends who come to my other art shows, but they just won't come.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's fine. I accept that. Like, it's not everybody's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I was curious, so you made a film in 2005 called Porn Star Pets.
Oh, yeah.
And the trailer for that said, America's Biggest Obsessions, Porn Stars, and Pets. It's very catchy. I wanted to know if you have a pet and what your pet is.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious about that.
I have Juki, who's a miniature kudos rescue.
Oh.
He's a star of the movie Bareback PhD in the dog park, wrestling and humping someone's dog. From this PhD guy. I had my friend read an email that this guy sent me about how I should have sex with him without a condom because condoms are anti-feminist.
Yeah.
Like, it was a pretty fucked up email.
Yeah.
And so then we made that into a movie. But Juki's in that movie. Juki's also in this new movie that I just made with Michael called... The movie is called Profefe.
Okay.
And Juki's in it because I thought, at one point he like ran, like Michael was in his chair, he kind of ran over to him, and then he came back as I called him back.
Yeah.
And then at the end, there's fireworks and stuff, and he's barking, so I thought it would be good to just show him in it. Also, like, as much as I really don't like Donald Trump, I wanted to show that there's a playfulness in the video.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the dogs, I had a lot of like, dogs in the movies. I had Hans, who's a dachshund, who's in a bunch of movies. So I've got a dog person, and I've been doing a lot of cats. I had it kind of get to my parents once when I had to move. And where I am now, my studio is really busy on the by traffic, so I can't have a cat because the cats get run over.
Oh, that's sad.
But I have two parakeets.
Oh.
Yeah.
So dogs and birds.
And
nice.
Tomato was a mouse and a rat.
And occasional pets.
Yeah,
it's the weather. It's very warm in Los Angeles. All the
they come in.
Things are coming out.
Yeah, they just come in. They come under the door. Yeah, and they just come right in.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wild. Well, okay, so this is just sort of me wanting to know this from someone who... was always curious. So, in 2016, there was Proposition 60, which was rejected, and I feel like people probably aren't even going to remember it, but it was California's ballot measure that would require adult film performers to use condoms, and, you know, there was sort of two sides to the sort of argument in terms of feeling like its success would depend on, like, stigma around sex and stigma around porn. And then also saying that the AIDS Healthcare Foundation said, "I don't want young people to be educated that the only kind of sex that's hot is unsafe sex." And as I was considering how I was going to vote on this measure, I kept thinking, I wish I could talk to someone in the adult film industry to get their perspective on this, because I'm curious about it. So I'm curious about your perspective on that. Would you mind sharing a little bit of your political view?
Well, what is it, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation? So it's called, it's a total scam.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused about that. That was their perspective. Like, that seems so confusing to me.
Early on, I went to, they had these open meetings with the adult industry. I was not ever directing, but I went to some of these meetings with Cal OSHA, who, you know, is the safety organization, right, in the state, or, like, workers.
Oh, right.
And I think that probably, maybe this was, like, 2010, I went, and a lot of the adult industry was there.
Yeah.
And the adult industry, for the amount of sex they have, and for all of this, they do pretty well at self-policing. And once you bring in outside people to do that, it's just not going to work. Now, as someone who really didn't know I was a feminist, so I started being porn, and people were like, you're a feminist pornographer. I'm like, am I really? And then I was nominated for, like, a feminist porn award. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know,
the world is telling you you're a feminist porn maker.
Yeah. Whatever this next wave of feminism is, like, it's really psychology. Okay, so I went to these meetings, and I sided with the adult industry that they should self-police and not have
a mandate.
What it means is that people will go out of state to shoot without condoms.
Mm-hmm.
People will go other places to shoot without condoms. And I feel like the adult industry was being unfairly targeted.
Yeah.
Also, there was a producer, and I don't remember who it was, there were a couple of producers there who brought up a couple of really good points. One was someone who had been a stuntman.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about, like, the amount, we're talking about, like, how making adult film was kind of like being this, people who were in that, in adult films were kind of like stunt people, and that's why are they putting these kinds of rules on adult filmmakers when there are people making films that are really unsafe for stunt people, you know, like mixed martial arts films, like, I don't know if it's not all these genres.
Yeah.
So, but I agree with him, and then also there was someone who said, when the adult industry is a really unique place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you treat the adult industry just as any workplace, I'm going to bring back a little, it would also mean, it would also mean that any soiled material on set would be considered, like, hazardous waste or something, like panty, anything that would come on it, because then it's something about the fluid.
Yeah.
It's, like, dangerous. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, so it was pulling out of my head.
Yeah. But, like, I know, it was from a while
ago. No, but it's important because a lot of people a lot of people thought that it was a good thing.
That's where my question was. Yeah, like, because that was my initial sort of response as someone who wants people to, like, be protected, you know, and then I sort of did my research, and I was like, I realized, oh, actually, this is offensive and not true that it's safer.
Here's one thing. In the adult industry, if somebody had an infection or they had a positive test or any STD or something, HIV, any STD, they're quarantined and they can't work for a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah.
So, if I understand correctly, according to sort of workplace politics or laws or discrimination laws in the workplace, if somebody has some kind of condition, you can't stop them from working. So, like, if you say that condoms are a barrier for HIV and the producer knows that the person in the movie has HIV, you can't pull that person off the shoot. You have to say, you have to let them work because everyone's wearing a condom, right? Like, they're crazy complications like that. Like,
okay.
I don't understand exactly. And this guy said this.
Yeah.
And that's really crazy because you can't say, you have HIV, you can't work in this, because if you discriminate against someone with HIV, then you're discriminating.
You're breaking the discrimination law.
Yeah,
I say.
So they have the adult industry, first of all, like, if you want to be in the adult industry, that's a risk you're going to take. It's not a risk that I would take.
Yeah.
To be in a film like that. But it's just, I am too neurotic, but there are lots of people who choose to do it.
Yeah.
They just do all their testing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that. Now, they found a lot of...
But it was rejected. I hope that it doesn't come back.
I don't know if it's going to come back. I know sometimes things come back. You know,
yeah.
I think he was there a couple of times. And I've had a lot of questions about this, the guy who's behind all of this, because of something else on about the Hollywood and housing. He's involved with something else, too.
I don't know.
I stopped going out of the closet because I just got mad about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I just have a couple more questions for you. This one's super interesting to me because it's it seems so much different than your other work. So you, I forget what the name of it was. When you clicked on the link, it said I had sex with a male gigolo. It's the reality TV. Gigolos. Okay. Right. Didn't even know that that was a show. So you participated in this reality show, and you had sex with a male gigolo. What was that like for you? I just didn't really talk about that. It was so...
It was super fun.
It looked good.
It was really fun. And it was really good for them, too, because I had to make movies, so I just behaved myself, and I was, you know, like...
Yeah.
I was like, what's my motivation? You know, I discussed with them before, like, okay, can I say this story? The story was, like, first of all, the name I used in the video... is Vina, so he's my porno name.
Oh, right.
And it was funny because I'm, like, in front of the camera instead of behind the camera, and the thing that I was most worried about is that I would just, like, look old or fat or whatever, you know what I mean? No. Okay. Really, complimentary. I mean, what would you think about? I mean, it's weird to be on that, in front of the camera, in such a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
But the way to do it is you just focus on your partner. I mean, that's basically...
Right.
This is, you know, when I was shooting porno, you know, you want to see the connection between the two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, like, you know, screaming, like, give it to her, you know, give it to him, suck that dick. You know, without, you just like, let them have this chemistry between them, and then you can film it, because they know how to do it.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of playful moments, too, where, like, your panties got stuck on your shoe, and you guys are laughing about it. It was really
sweet. And what happened was my friend Mary and I would watch that show, because at the time they came on, it was on Showtime, and she said, you need to watch the show with these male prostitutes in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, and then I got on their email list, and then they said they were doing a casting call, so I wrote, like, this fan letter to them, you know, because he's smart, handsome.
Oh, well, you said he's a philosophy major.
So then, and then it was filmed in Vegas, and my story was like, I'm an artist, and I come to my vacation home in Las Vegas. And it was a complete, like, camp, and it was just, like, I felt like a drag queen, actually. And say all these campy things to him, you know, oh, you're better in person, look how, you like crazy, it's a crazy thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, my friend, I asked them, the producer was really nice, I was like, look, can you give me a copy of it? And he said, no, absolutely not. I'm like, why not? So he couldn't. So then, when they played it on TV, and I went to my friend's house, who had a DVR, and they recorded it, so the version that I have, even though it's HD, it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit grainy or pixelated or something because it's like a generation, which I kind of like.
I never would have noticed.
And then when I showed it in Berlin, there was the guy in the audience, the questions were like, you know, it says HD, but, you know, how did you feel? It says, I think it says they're, like, filmed without permission, like, copy of that.
So I
said. And the guy was like, you know, you can look at BitTorrent and you can get it and you can download it and it's such HD, so you have an HD version.
He wanted to help you get, like, a proper version.
I love the journalism, they're so funny. You're like, oh yeah, it says HD, it should be HD. And I'm not putting those programs on my computer. Like, you know, like, I don't, other people tell me they can, and they can, I'm like, you want to download it for me and give it to me? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I will, but, you know. So the show
is
so
funny.
It's on for other seasons.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, I didn't even know that was a show.
Yeah. You can watch it. You can watch some episodes online somewhere.
Cool.
But the gigolos changed. I think Ben's still there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Oh, and then we did...
It was fun to watch.
We did the show. I talked to Ben. You know, they do this... You have to do this sort of wrap-up, I don't know what they call it. After you do, you know, how was it for you? Probably in the beginning. Like, they just ask you to say things. And I was like, then what do you want me to talk about? And he's like, well, you're multi-orgasmic. Why don't you talk about that? Because anytime we've had a woman on the show like that, they try and cut it out. You know?
Yeah.
He said, so why don't you just talk about
that? Yeah,
said, that's what I'm interested in because, you know, he's really into giving pleasure to women.
Yeah.
And he's a gigolo, that's what you pay him for, right?
Yeah.
So, which is great. So that's what we're talking about.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I guess my last question for you is just, for people interested in finding different types of porn, where would be a good place? I mean, it's such a, like, basic 101 question, but where would be a good place to find different types of porn? Like, just in general.
Pornhub? No. Not, but Pornhub. Okay, first I have to say about Pornhub. We're sitting on NPR about it the other day. I'm going to go on to Pornhub. I went on to Pornhub a couple months ago or whatever. I was like, I could just lose my life here. I was just watching, clicking, like, so fast. far as living. But I think when in San Francisco there was a store of Good Vibrations, I don't know if
it's
still
there. Good Vibrations.
But you can, like, if you just Google, like, women friendly porn, and, like, something like that, you can find them. There's another place in online, I think it's TLC. I'm a little out of it. These places have carried my movies too, and there's a store on Instagram. There's like different places. And if you just do, if you Google feminist porn, or like female friendly porn, you can find some stuff. And a lot of, I think San Francisco, a lot of things. I think Shawn Green, Houston, I think she's still making movies.
Who is it?
Shawn Green Houston. She's a filmmaker who made her big movie was Crash Pad, and it was this like sort of groundbreaking, lesbian porno a few years ago. It was probably 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
There's like interesting stuff coming out of San Francisco. Jisley was on, I don't know if you watched Transparent, but Jisley was like the sister like goes to like the summer camp, and she becomes a slave of like Jisley. This is a group. There's you can find different performers doing different things. And there's probably stuff coming out of Valley that's like okay now. The thing that I will say is that there used to be, because there's so much free porn on the internet. I think that these kind of cheaper movies that I was able to make, and these medium budget movies, I imagine they don't really exist anymore. So you probably see like big budget pornos, and you can certainly see a lot of amateur porn. But really, it's like there's so much of it. You could waste a lot of time. My friend Xavier was in my movie. He was on a site called Homo Punk, and that's really cute. It's a few years old, but I like looking at these cute boys and they're wearing like bunny ears and like rock music.
Well, it sounds like just sort of exploring. I mean, the internet has all sorts of things.
I like gay porno.
Yeah.
So I like just looking at Tumblr.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So many
places.
So
many
places.
It's
everywhere.
Yeah, amazing. And then how can people find more of your work if they're interested?
Yeah.
In terms of your artwork or just, like, any types of work? Because I know you haven't made these films super, super recently, so this isn't all.
For the features, you can go to my website, margieschnibbe.com, my blog, schnibbe.net, schnibbe.net. And then if you see any of the titles, like any of my titles should be available to whoever streams, streaming, if you want to see them. And because I've just posted the trailers, I don't own those movies because, I work for other companies.
Right.
Like, Porn Star Pets is on, and that's, it's like probably G-rated. It's a documentary. There's a little bit of nudity in it, and like sort of talking about sex, but it's not like a bestiality movie. It's a documentary. That is on Netflix. I don't know if they have a streaming. I have to order it on DVD, which is really
weird. Okay, that is weird.
But it's on like YouTube or Vimeo.
Oh,
like,
cool.
If you want to watch the whole thing,
I
want to watch it. If anyone wants a DVD, just email me, and I have a merch page. I totally forgot.
Oh, what's your merch page?
The merch page is babyhans.com.
Oh, yeah.
BabyHans. That was my first dog before Gigi.
Oh,
but I have a merch page, so if you Google me, Margie Schnibbe, you can find my merch. I might have Porn Star Pets on there, but not so many people have DVD players anymore.
I do not.
Yeah, so I was going to bring a DVD, bring in the DVDs.
I know. I just moved, and I contemplated throwing away my old DVDs because I don't know what to do with them, but I did not because they are still near and dear to my heart.
So you kept them. You can always donate them.
Yeah, I can always donate them, but DVD card players, they're hard to come by, so.
Yeah, that's right. I stockpiled them.
Nice. Amazing. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And anything else you want to say before we go?
So fly. You got me lifted. You got me lifted. I'm getting shifted higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
I'm so glad.
Ceiling, and ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Shifted higher than the ceiling, and ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, how you get so fly?
Shifted higher than the ceiling, and ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, how you get so fly?
I'm gonna come to you.